Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about the Resident Evil 4 Remake, which is a survival horror game developed and published by Capcom for contemporary systems in 2023.
And this episode is the premium episode for June, which means that everybody gets the generalities. And if you're a patron, you get the whole thing. And this is a remake of 2005's Resident Evil, and this episode is a remake of our episode 141 from 2006.
2016. It feels like 2006.
It does really feel like, man, can you imagine the bad haircuts and stuff we'd have?
the cargo pants that zipped off into shorts.
I've been listening to Stained. Have you played Resident Evil 4? No way, man. I'm too busy with biting Kados. Cool, bro.
rock on. Let's go ride our Heelys in the park.
Man, people gotta start watching this Arrested Development show or nobody's gonna support it. It's gonna die.
I like this version where I'm just graduating from high school.
And you're just
this 25-year-old dude riding by. Hey man, buddy, we're gonna
read cool.
We're gonna
do podcasting. Podcast? Yeah. Hey man, you ever heard of podcasts? It's gonna blow your dick off. Get in the car.
Gosh. Yeah, and that was, you know, one of our more popular and well received episodes. Can we recreate it? Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll do our best. This game's status as a remake makes talking about it a little strange because we covered the original very thoroughly. And it kind of doesn't make sense to go into the basics of what RE4 was when that other text is there, you know?
Yeah. If we will talk about ways this is different, without enumerating the way it originally was too much,
mm-hmm.
Because that has been covered by us. Go listen to that episode. It's real good.
Yeah.
And we're going to assume going into this that you have some knowledge. Mm-hmm. Of the original game, so we can speak to those comparisons freely.
Yes.
And no spoilers or anything like that. If you've been waiting to play the Resident Evil 4 remake or anything, we're going to talk about the ways it's different. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing to think about remaking or spoiling a remake.
Yeah.
You know, because you basically know the beats. You know RE4. Like it's there are differences and they're important. Mm-hmm. That's kind of our thesis behind covering this as well as the original. But it's not, they're not bombshells.
Right.
It'll be okay.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, these two products, they exist in conversation with each other. So it's really hard to talk about one without talking about the other. Right.
Yes. Yeah. The main kind of thesis of this is that the world supports both of these to us.
Yeah.
You know, both games, if you don't know, you play as Leon Kennedy, just absolutely God's perfect fucking idiot. 6 years after the Raccoon City incident, he's gotten way stupider. He's been taking dumb pills, and he's a special agent. He's sent to a remote region of Spain to rescue the president's daughter from what turns out to be a cult of these bioweapon bug infested people.
Yes, they are Los Illuminados, and they have parasites in them, big old crazy bugs up
which
there,
which is Spanish for the Lumineers. So it's actually a pretty
hey.
Yeah, they do a lot of hey clap stomps at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of millennial yelps that sap your power bar.
Oh, man. But they got these big old bugs in them that make them act kind of like zombies, but, you know, more aggressive and smart. It's a different thing. Got nothing to do with zombies. But it's, you know, so it makes it okay to shoot and kill them.
Yeah. Murder them good. Yeah. It is a game about murder.
Yes.
The if only you could talk to the Ganados. So this is not only what, you know, we talked about this originally, Resident Evil 4, you know, Resident Evil was in a rut. Resident Evil 4, in pulling Resident Evil out of the rut, basically created what we know as third person shooters.
Mm-hmm.
If you are over the shoulder and you're shooting, you owe a huge debt to Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
In general, it is, you know, there's some clunkiness to the controls. If you go back now, beautiful mm-hmm. clunkiness that I wouldn't trade for anything,
yeah.
But it is really modern. It is the template for it's absolutely hugely influential fucking game. Everything is Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
It's wild.
Everything owes a debt to this. And yeah. I mean, I will cop to this. I was pretty confident that Capcom would do a very good job with whatever they decided to do with this because they've earned a great deal of trust. But I mean, even after the RE3 remake came out and people were thinking about what's next, I was hoping for a Code Veronica remake. Still am hoping for that. But also, like, I didn't know how necessary it was. I'm happy to be wrong about this. And also to kind of be in this, I don't know, kind of golden age of pretty good and justified video game remakes, you know?
Specifically from Capcom.
Yes.
Weirdly enough, like they're killing it more than a lot of companies are.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we talk about their recent streak, when the worst thing they've done is a couple of DLCs and Resident Evil 3 make in this streak, that's not bad.
No, right?
Like
no.
3 make is not as good as 2 make. Mm-hmm. It's not as good as this. It's not as, you know, it's the worst of their most recent games. It's still a pretty fun game. It's by no means a disaster.
Right.
Like their batting average is really, really high right now.
Mm-hmm.
The tricky thing about this, the necessity question for Resident Evil 4 is that Resident Evil 4 is still exists and it's one of the most widely released games.
It's available on fucking everything. It's the new Doom.
It's the new Doom. You put it on everything. Can the cell phone run Resident Evil 4?
It literally came out on the N-Gage.
It did come out on cell phones. Depending on the cell phone, it can run Resident Evil 4, a bespoke port of it. And from that answer, like it ends up becoming a thing where necessary? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right? Like necessary. When is a video game necessary? It's hard to think about necessary, but it's incredibly welcome.
Yes.
You know, so it's, if you had asked me, you know, at the time, do we need a Resident Evil 4 remake? I would have said no. And I would have been right. Mm-hmm. But if you had asked me at the time, like, hey, would you like a Resident Evil 4 remake? I would have been like, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I would have been wrong. Because I 100% want this, and I think it justifies its own existence, and I love the idea of living in a future where these both exist mm-hmm. in that space and have them both available to me.
Yeah. And, you know, to have them both be different enough experiences on the mechanical level. You know, I think broadly this does an incredibly good job of reinterpreting Resident Evil 4 with modern design principles. Like if that is the remit, it succeeds very, very well. Reasonable people can disagree on whether or not that remit is worthwhile. You know, I would say, yeah, because it got us one of the best games this year.
It's still going to be game to beat.
Yes. Right?
Like this is turning out to be a very good year for games,
mm-hmm.
I think. But it still feels like game to beat to me for this year. It is the most fun I've had with a game that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So like the other remakes, it's quicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit faster. It's a little bit looser while still not going full on that. We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can aim and move at the same time, which is a big Resident Evil 4 bugbear for some people.
Aim and move at the same. Aim and move at the same time. People can forget because of how modern RE4 is. That also had tank controls. They're like Leon did not know how to step to his side.
Strafing is hard for people who are born in Raccoon City.
But for this version, it comes naturally to them in this timeline, right? Yes. This gives you the strafing and stuff, gives you, you know, more mobility, which is necessary. It would feel very weird if they took that away after, you know, making the decisions they did with RE2 and 3 Make. Right.
Yeah.
This feels very much of a piece with those, while, you know, kind of giving you the similar controls, but changing the circumstances to make it fucking wild actiony. Yeah.
Yeah. It's faster, but I don't think it's quite as fast as like a modern action game that takes this kind of thing. So, you know, Resident Evil 4, the thing that makes me love it is that it's slow.
Yes.
It's an action game, but it's incredibly tactical and considered and slow.
Yeah.
This is still more tactical, considered and slow than like Village.
Yes.
You know, it's less twitchy than that, but it ups at the speed a bit, you know, it's finding a happy medium.
Yeah.
Here. It makes a chain play very differently. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a lot more mobile. We'll talk about this in a lot more, much wider defensive vocabulary. Mm-hmm. They change aiming. In the original version, you have a laser sight on everything, and you have perfect aim. Now you have a classic video game reticle that tightens as you leave it in place.
Yes.
This showed up first in this series in the RE2 and 3 remakes. Mm-hmm. This again is a nod towards that slower pace of play. You have to stop and line up your shots, and they turn it into an incredibly interesting trade-off with guns. They take guns that were underperforming in the original Resident Evil 4 and made those have the laser sight. Mm-hmm. So you can choose to have old Resident Evil 4 aiming at the cost of some power and other advantages to your weapons.
Yeah.
They take this thing and make it a very interesting choice. Whereas one of the faults in my dear, one of my favorite games of all time, Resident Evil 4, is that some weapons are just not worth using.
Right.
No longer the case. They made those into interesting choices. It's a you know, objective improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just a choice, but a choice with an interesting cost as well. We'll talk about the trading system. You know, it is there if you want it. When in doubt, make it a choice.
Yeah. Yep. Trust the player.
Yeah.
The game has more enemies that are thrown at you in this. So you have to be more aware of what's around you. Enemies still do the slow square up and walk towards you so you can aim your shots. Mm-hmm. It's just not quite as slow, and you have to keep your head on a little bit more of a swivel.
Yeah, there is no more shouting of detrosity, which is weird that they did that in the first place. Nobody shouts, "Hey, behind you! Hey, Paul, look!" So like somebody will just, you know, fucking whack you from behind if you let them get there. So being mobile on your feet and controlling the space, you know, important in the original, much more important here.
Yeah, and in this version, Leon speaks Spanish as well, so that would have worked. One of the other things that RE4 in terms of its influences, the kind of dark legacy of Resident Evil 4, is bringing in the world of QuickTime events to action games. And every action game did this for a long time. Everyone hated it. Eventually devs realized we could just not do it. And Resident Evil 4 Remake follows that as well.
Yes.
And gets rid of them. It was a big part of the original. Instead we have dodge prompts. For this, typically they're the same prompt every time. Every once in a while it's duck, and it throws me off.
Yep.
A lot of the time, you know, there's kind of one too many dodge prompts in this, but, instead you are not switching into a cinematic of Leon backflipping. You're just doing something that's in your verb set.
It keeps it an engine, which is, I think, really, really important. And along with that comes what I think is maybe my most welcome mechanical change in this.
Oh, which this is great.
Oh, the parrying. Good Lord.
The parrying, you fool. The parrying.
the colors, Duke. The colors. Yeah. It's by pressing the left bumper L1 when an attack is incoming. And the timing is pretty generous. It gets less generous
very generous.
It's
crazy generous. Like it is a training and a normal mode. It is a training game for parrying.
Yes.
It's worth noting this is a proper parry. This is something they've done Resident Evil 7 and 8 where there's a block where you still take damage, specifically 7. Like you need to be blocking, but you're not. This works a little bit like a Dark Souls parry. Like this will take stamina away from an enemy. It can stagger them if you do it right.
Yeah. This the thing that I love about this. So we haven't talked about it, but it is an incredibly good game. The VR remake of RE4.
Yeah.
Which
we talked about that a little bit in, I don't know, a dispatch, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Like a thing about that, because aiming is so much more quick in that, you're just much more able to shoot shit out of the air. Like, mm-hmm. it is just super easy to do that, and you feel like a god pulling that off. That brings a little bit of that to this. Not only can you parry non-explosive throwables, but you can parry your melee attacks coming in. And it's a way to avoid damage.
With, again, turning into an interesting choice and part of the resource game.
Yes.
Because you do it with your knife, your combat knife, which you used to have, which was indestructible, which was part of the rhythm, the holy trinity of RE4, of like kneecap, backflip, stab. Mm-hmm. But now you use your knife primarily for parrying, and they have durability.
Yes.
Your main knife can be repaired. You're constantly just finding kitchen knives. I love just grabbing a butter knife and parrying a chainsaw. but these have durability. So depending on the strength of the attack, they will lose more of their value and they can break. Mm-hmm. They very cannily showed this in the first trailer when they show Leon parrying the chainsaw, mm-hmm. holding it off with the knife. Really, really great, taking an iconic moment and signaling like, hey, this is actually going to be pretty different.
Yes.
That really canny.
The durability, like, so you repair them at the merchant. Like, there's not an extra thing that you do. It's not like you have like a whetstone in your inventory or whatever. And the knife can be upgraded as well, not just for its power, but also for its durability. And there are a couple of different knives. I know that I got at least two. I think there's another one that I missed from not shooting the little statues.
Yeah, and by going through the game, multiple times, you eventually get an indestructible knife that works like the old ones, and that feels like the most powerful thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
The knife also borrows a little bit of Steez from the Resident Evil 2 remake, or even the Resident Evil 1 remake, where you have an item that has a consumable durability that will get you out of grabs. If an enemy grabs you, you can just stab them in the head here, but it takes a big chunk of durability, so it's it's a resource
that
you have.
Yeah. What feels like it was meant to be a bigger addition, ended up being a little bit of a nothing to me, is the addition of stealth to this. So you can crouch, and if an enemy is unaware of you, you can go up and do an instant kill, instant quiet kill, to take him down. There are sections that feel designed for this, but it ends up not really making that big of a splash on the core gameplay loop, because oftentimes, you walk into a situation and the enemies are there waiting for you.
It lets you get kind of an alpha strike. Again, a term that I didn't make up, allowing you to take somebody out before the fight starts.
Yeah.
Which is useful. It's welcome, even if it's not, useful throughout the entire game, I think.
It's another kind of aspect of modernizing the game. Everything has this,
It's the more innocuous of those.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about, I think you've got a little bit later in the notes, but it's worth noting because it relates into this resource thing. They also add crafting.
Yes.
To this, which is, I think, probably in terms of additions to this, is the biggest failure.
Yeah, I don't care for this.
I don't care for it at all. When has this added anything? I mean, I hate crafting in video games. It always feels grafted on unless the game is Subnautica and it's about crafting. Mm-hmm. What they do is you still have kind of your system, where your drops are determined by how well you're doing here. So if you're doing poorly, you're going to get more ammo drops. Things that you're out of ammo, you're more likely to get. You get ammo for things you use. The game is responding to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. However, it's just diffuse across gunpowder and resources.
Yeah.
Resource small and resource little. large. I know it's actually not little. And so the idea here is you get this kind of gray goo that you can turn into whatever you happen to need. Mm-hmm. The intent here is to have this be more expressive. I want to play a playthrough that makes heavy use of the mine launcher and uses a lot of mines and traps. So I'm going to use my things for that. I'm going to play a character who gets really into the thick of things. I'm going to make a lot of flash grenades. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. it just ends up taking the wind out of finding stuff.
Yeah.
For me, it is just less fun to find things when what I'm finding is 1/5 of the ability to make a stack of ammo.
Yeah.
It's a diffusion. It's taking things and diluting it. I really wish it could be eliminated from video games. Very few games that do it okay.
There are petty reasons for me to be against it in this game. The pettiest probably being like, oh, it's an extra step. It's a menu tax. I think a substantial one is, and I don't know if this is like antithetical to high level play or what have you, like maybe this enables somebody to be really, really intentional with how they do a, pro no damage run or something like that. I got no idea because that's not how I play these games. What I enjoyed about the original and the way that it doled stuff out is it was random to an extent what you would have ammo for. Mm-hmm. So like it might be that you're out of ammo for everything except for your submachine gun, and you have to make the best of that situation because the submachine gun isn't very good. And it was kind of a way for you to continue to do something which is very fun in video games, which is adapt. Right.
It was a very weighted version of that system, mm-hmm. because it was also and something that's true here, too, is you get drops for weapons you have.
Yes.
Like a weird hack to the Resident Evil 4 remake, if you're listening to this and you haven't played it,
don't buy the
submachine gun. Yeah, because you will never see the ammo for it. It's great. Uh-huh. Just ignore that fucking thing and you'll be good for the whole game. Mm-hmm. Eventually you get a better one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you would end up having those situations with whatever you chose to have. So you're never getting screwed into it. Doesn't remind me of BioShock Infinite, which was into doing that with its shitty two gun limit. Mm-hmm. It would be like, hey, we want you to try using the weird mortar launcher thing for a little bit. And it would just feel like dog shit. Mm-hmm. Here. It's not that it's within a constrained space.
Yeah.
It was making you have to be resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you don't have to do that as much, 'cause you just throw some gunpowder into a thing and have some more pistol shots. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. You throw some saltpeter into some metal shit you found, and then you have whatever you need. I just don't like that. Like, I think that it might come down to the previous system, as generous as it was also disempowering. It took one of those things away. It made you rely on the resources that were there, as opposed to having that element of control over it. Right.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it in terms of, one of the strongest things about Resident Evil 4, the original, that is a little weakened in this game because of that, is the economy. I think it's got mm-hmm. one of the most perfect video game economies and satisfying mm-hmm. loops of use your resources, clear a room, and then sweep the room for treats. Mm-hmm. Almost all the treats, half the treats now are parts of a treat.
Yeah.
I'm getting 1/4 of a Kit Kat bar. The fuck is this? I really dislike that. so that is a bummer.
Yeah. Something that's not a bummer, which is kind of about to combat a little bit, and a little bit into the knife economy, is the addition of the broken neck Ganados, regular infected enemies. So original game, after a certain point, the enemies started, when you killed them, their head would explode and their parasite would erupt from their neck, and they would come back and become emergency enemies. There were three different types of them. It was a pretty big deal. They had to be prioritized. It changed up your order of operations. It was cool. That didn't happen until a few chapters in. Here, the very first enemy that you find demonstrates this system, which adds like a level 0 threat to this, where any of the Ganados, when you kill them, can fall over with a broken neck, and then they will start convulsing on the ground, showing that, oh, they're going to revive. And when they revive, they're going to become a much more aggressive, quicker version of the enemy that won't do the square up thing. They're just going to charge in and grab you.
Yeah, yeah. They're being controlled purely by the Plagas.
Yes.
That's, it's great to have mm-hmm. that in there. It's great that you can prevent it. Mm-hmm. It's another thing of the knife. If one of the enemies is convulsing on the ground, you can run up and stab it in the head and kill it. It takes some durability, but you save yourself a threat and more resources ultimately. Yeah. And it's happening while you're fighting other things because of the increased encounter density. Mm-hmm. So it is a legitimate, interesting risk reward choice to go stab a convulsing Ganado, because you're turning your back on the Ganados you're fighting mm-hmm. and you're using up a valuable knife resource.
Yeah.
And you'll make this choice consistently.
Yeah. It's a great gamble because there's another element to that. Because their primary attack is to grab you, you can either use, I didn't check the amount of durability, but you can use durability on the front end and expose yourself to the risk going up and stabbing them. Or when they come up and grab you, you end up needing to use durability to get them off of you and break the grab. If you don't do the button mashing or whatever, you would make that choice if you think, all right, well, I'm just going to down him before he gets to me.
Yes.
So like, well, I'm going to use more ammo on this and preserve the knife durability.
Well, and the other thing too is that when you, if they grab you and you push them off with the knife, they don't die.
Yeah.
You know, you push them off and then you still have to kill them. So it's a really interesting matrix of choices in this relatively slow paced action game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the difficulty of Resident Evil 4, and this is a thing that's true of both versions, is that the action lives in your head mm-hmm. more than your hands. This is not nearly as fast a game as like a character action game, but you're mm-hmm. constantly making these decisions.
Yeah.
Like that in the fight. Yeah. Beautiful.
Imagine my relief when the inventory Tetris returns.
Yeah. But they add the quick slot, the quick swap mm-hmm. weapons, which was the one like, so in Resident Evil 5, they added a quick swap to weapons. Very welcome. But they simplified the inventory into this weird 3x3 grid because of dumb co-op reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get the Tetris and the quick swap.
You know? Describe the quick swap for people who aren't familiar nobody played RE. Well, everybody played RE5. It was their best game. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Like you, you put weapons on the D-pad.
Yes.
And you can switch between them quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Did not exist in Resident Evil 4. You had to pause and like literally re-equip weapons. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't have to do that, but you still have your briefcase, which you have to organize and make room for and upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loves this. It's a weird thing where it feels like it's a sicko move to just enjoy the friction. But in fact, everyone loves it and they made a game about it.
Uh-huh.
And everything, which has one of the most clever names of all video games.
Yep. have you played Save Room?
I have not played Save Room. I've only seen it.
It's really good. It's a fun, like a one sitting thing. But it turns into very interesting puzzles. Yeah.
I'm very curious about it. And I love that it's called Save Room. It's so sweet.
As in the original, you can upgrade the size of your briefcase, you know, periodically as you go.
Yep.
It's always a high priority upgrade for you to get. But your briefcase also gives you ring slots. It's key ring slots. You have briefcase charms, little figurines that can hang from your briefcase that will give you, perks, basically.
Yeah.
More common upgrade, like, handgun ammo will drop if you have the handgun ammo box charm. Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that. They range in power and specificity
mm-hmm.
and rareness. These are things you win from doing the shooting gallery, which has been greatly improved.
Yes.
As well. Weirdo gamers, I was doing, I was going to replay this, but I got married last weekend and it's been a busy week. Did not get mm-hmm. a chance to replay this. I'm just going off my first playthrough, but that was not too long ago. Mm-hmm. But I was reading about gamers complaining about this because mm-hmm. it was refreshing my memory. And gamers don't like that the charms you have access to are randomized at the beginning of the game. So you can't like save scum them if you want a specific charm. And nothing has incensed my, grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
Instinct in a while. Like, mm-hmm. You have to have that specific charm, do you?
Uh-huh.
Like what are you doing with your life? I don't know. Just like seed control a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It bummed me out to read about that.
The bummer, the bummer capital G gamer thing that, I mean, aside from the actual real one about the woman who was harassed off the internet, we'll get to that.
The sun sorship. Like we'll get into that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But just related to save scumming, and I have to get the best thing every time. When you craft ammo, there is a chance, and this is actually related to your charms.
Yes.
You know, you can optimize for this. There's a chance that you will get bonus rounds when you do this, and it's a random thing. So when people would make sure that they crafted at the typewriter, so that if they didn't get bonus rounds when they crafted, they could just reload the save and try again. And I cannot think of a more joyless way to live.
Imagine it. Imagine that. There's no quick save and quick load.
Uh huh.
There's a whole menu. You have to talk to a typewriter. Just imagine that. It's wild. Mm-hmm. As is, the shooting galleries are fun. The gacha thing is fun. It's hugely improved. In the original version, the shooting gallery is something you just did as a lark, and you got little Pepsi cap figurines I would love to have in real life, but digitally they did nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you actually get a reward, and it's very fun to do.
And there are new challenges for every weapon.
Yeah, that teach you how to use the weapon, as opposed to just kind of being, do it however you can most, be effective. Again, it's incredibly clever.
Yeah, and it's pirate themed because it's run by the merchant, and he has that pirate accent.
He loves pirates, and it features a remix music of the original flamenco music that they're playing in the car in the original version, which you can switch to the original soundtrack anyway if you buy it, which I spent real actual money for.
Cool.
to switch to the original soundtrack because I like it more. Ashley is a little bit different here, and not in the dumb controversy way we'll talk about later. Her mechanics are a little bit different. Used to be able to say follow or stay. You can plant her in a place or have her follow you. Now you can say stay close or stay distant.
Yeah.
So she either gets close to you or she backs off. Generally, you have her back off when there is a Ganado with a Plagueis parasite whipping around. I hear.
Yeah.
There are also far fewer situations where you dumpster her. like you're constantly dumpstering the president's daughter in RE4. And now there's like one or two closets.
Yeah.
There are way fewer just dumpsters, which leads to much more tense. You have to do more fights with her with you.
Yes.
In this version, which is good because otherwise it kind of felt like there wasn't too much of a point to Ashley other than like the water room, other than a couple rooms in the original version, because you could throw into a dumpster. Now, when she's with you, she is a concern.
Yes. Yeah. So in the original, she was a little bit of a resource dump because she had her own health bar. You could upgrade her health by giving her yellow herbs mixed in. But if she took damage, you had to basically take care of both of your health bars. Here, she can be grabbed and you have to rescue her, shoot the person who's carrying her and not her.
Or go up and stab him in the neck.
Yeah.
Right in front of her face. Like, it's awful.
Yeah. Scary. And that will make them drop the lady. If she is attacked, she will be downed, kind of like in RE5 or 6, and you have to go up, get close, and then rescue her before she is hit again, or else she will die. It is a modernized system, very much for the game's benefit.
Yeah, this is I think better. Generally, there are more puzzles and different puzzles. There's no longer a sliding block puzzle.
I love it.
Which I love because those are the worst. There are more puzzles in this version, which is interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of general things we'll talk about as well. Tons of changes to the layout and everything too. Like there's more puzzles, but there's also whole set pieces that are gone, set pieces that are remixed and remastered, things like that. Bosses that are gone. Boss variations that are added, things like that.
Yeah.
It's very, very different in that way.
I like the move of adding puzzles into this because, the shift away from puzzles, any at all, really, in RE4 was a pretty jarring thing that felt like it was a response to accusations that the series was stagnating. Like RE4 was just very consciously trying to be a different thing. Yes. RE4 remake coming out as part of this like trilogy of remakes as it comes, it would be really weird if they did that same like, we are putting our foot on the ground, or we're drawing this line and saying, hey, no puzzles. This feels much more akin to the RE2 and 3 remake, which I think is a good choice.
Yeah. None of the puzzles are absolute mind bogglers. They're not also not Zelda lamps you have to light. Generally, like they're a nice even medium.
Yes,
for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things this works into the economy as well is they've changed the use of spinals through these side missions thing. So in the very for really weirdly in Resident Evil 4, you go to one section of a farm and there are little medallions you can shoot and the merchant will give you a gun. And then it never comes up again. It's so fucking weird thinking about where that lands in Resident Evil 4, especially in retrospect, where this many areas have these little side quests where you have to go and shoot these different medallions somewhere. Sometimes with literally the merchant saying like, man, those medallions are an eyesore.
I fucking love it. It's fucking cultists. Come on.
Yeah. But sometimes you have to kill all the rats. Sometimes you have to, you know, do different things in your environment.
Bring me snakes.
Yeah. I'd like to eat a large bass once. Can I please eat one large bass, please?
Bring me the General Sherman.
Yeah. And you get these spinals, which can be sold, but can also be used as like a currency, almost like insight. In Bloodborne, like a special currency you can use for valuable items, weapons, upgrades, things you can't ordinarily buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we say upgrades, it's not like the regular weapon upgrades, which that system is present here and is feels mostly unchanged. You can correct me if I'm wrong about that.
Some of the ultimate upgrades are different. Now, but other than that, it's generally the same.
Yeah.
And a kind of across the board weapon rebalancing.
Yeah.
That has happened.
Yeah. But like the upgrades that you get for this, like you can buy special weapons with this, like this is how you get the Matilda, you know, the burst fire pistol and things like that. Like upgrades are like stocks for different weapons that you find. This is how you get the laser sight. Things of that nature.
Yeah. And eventually you can just get money for this. As it runs out of things to do. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why this remake is welcome, if not necessary, is that this game, you know, we talked about this with the Demon Souls remake on Bonfireside Chat. This game is holy. Resident Evil 4 has holy spaces. These are iconic things. It's a reason why the VR version, in addition to being a fun game, is so interesting to me.
Yes.
Because just seeing these things from all angles is new.
Yes.
Here, things are upgraded and kind of moved around, but in these ways that pay homage to the original design. It's familiar, but surprising enough to still be interesting.
Like the big set pieces are recognizable and, you know, changed just enough. I was very happy that like things happened recognizably in the order that I remember them happening.
If you sit down and look side by side, it's very surprising to look and see what was missing and how well they alighted it. you know, things are moved around a lot in this, but they do a really, really good job of blending things together and kind of like almost doing like a Shovel Knight thing or an Infernax thing where it's almost the game of Resident Evil 4 you remember. If Resident Evil, like imagine a world where Resident Evil 4 wasn't just readily available still.
Yeah.
This would feel pretty close.
Yeah.
To that.
With a few exceptions, like there's no they got rid of the U3 boss encounter, which is probably going to come back in the Separate Ways DLC, which I'm positive we're going to get.
Absolutely going to get and will come back. Mm-hmm. But that means that whole section. Like do you remember in Resident Evil 4 when you're on a weird container ship?
Yeah.
And there were like, you know, timed gates that fell down.
I got through the island. And I was like, wait a minute, where's like the dropping thing? And I thought, oh, that must be like an RE5. I got that confused because I'm not bagging that section by saying like, oh, it feels like RE5. It feels kind of like RE5, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, and there's like whole sections of goofy castle shit that don't happen. And being fair, you know, and being even handed, I do miss a lot of that stuff.
I miss the big lava chamber.
I miss the lava chamber. I miss the gigantic mechanical Salazar pretty badly. There is a stupidity filter on this that is like this game is stupid, and we'll talk about it in the best possible way. It's not as stupid.
Yeah.
It's prettier though.
Oh boy! And this is a massive upgrade, Gary.
Yeah.
Going back to RE4, like RE4 is a stressful game. It is not a scary game.
It's that generation, right? Like the PS2 and PS3 generation where like the land of the weird open hallway.
Yeah.
You know, I think about those Castlevania PS2 awful Castlevania games a lot, which were just huge hallways, like featureless hallways with like a sconce every 70 feet, you know, for most of them. Sections of the castle in Resident Evil 4 feel like that. Like everything is kind of weird and empty and undecorated.
Yeah.
And there's a sicko in me that kind of likes that.
Yep.
You know, that feeling of weird, ultra liminal, surreal space.
Mm-hmm.
I also like tons of absolutely gnarly and relevant foreshadowing detail that is in this game. for this. And the fact that it does make it a lot scarier because of good use of shadows.
Incredibly good use of shadows. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like the addition of gore, like RE4 is not necessarily an incredibly gory game, very violent, but you know, you're not seeing a lot of like, you know, really messed up like people and faces and bodies and stuff. Here though, it's got that. It's got a lot of that.
But less so than RE2.
Yes.
Which is very interesting. It's still moving towards a more cartoon reality a little bit, because this is still, even though there's not a gigantic Salazar, that robot that chases you, there is a gigantic Salazar that spins around and breathes fire on you. So we can't be entirely serious.
Nope.
You know, we're just a little bit, we're a bit more serious. You know, so it's a lot gorier than Resident Evil 4, but less gorier than 2 Make.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. And that's part of something that adds the fact that it's scarier.
Yes. I mean, we've been kind of talking around it. We might as well address it here. They have toned the campiness down. They threw us the bone. They said the line Bart with the "Where's everybody going?" bingo kind of thing. We don't get protracted, you know, codec conversations between Leon and Sadler or Leon and Salazar. There's no "your small time." There's no "your right hand comes flirting. Off." Yeah, much you know, less flirting.
There's less of that weird kind of whatever that is.
They took all of the flirting and they moved it strictly between Leon and Luis.
Yeah. Luis really wink at each other like a lot in this. There's still like Leon is still a dumb himbo in this. Yeah. But I think that what's happening is he's slowly getting his intelligence drained as the game goes on. Because he's not that at all in the Resident Evil 2 remake.
No, no.
Like, he's just an action protagonist. Here, like, partway, I was very bummed. I was like, oh, they got what they do to my boy, you know, during this whole thing. Like, they smartened him up. I don't want flowers for Leon. And then as it kept going, he started doing weird shit. Like, at one point, he shoots a guy in front of Ashley and he goes, pretty good, huh? And it's like, what are you doing, man? You know, there's danger going on. Like, he still does some silly shit. He'll sit in the throne. He has some real, like, you know, wow, look at all these monitors. Like, he'll say some real dumbass shit like that. At one point, right in front of it, and this is a gameplay thing, but right in front of Ashley, I found a fish in the garbage dump and ate it in front of her. Like, in my headcanon, as you spend time on the island, you slowly and slowly get more Leon.
He gets a symbiote. It's a second unrelated parasite that he gets.
Yeah. it has been toned down a lot, though. I'm not trying to say it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of degrees. It's not entirely gone. And there are sicko pervert pleasures for people who enjoy just watching Leon Kennedy be a golden retriever, what shaped like a man. You will get that through this.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, it just kind of overall less campy. And we'll talk about individual characters and the changes in their depiction.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And here's the other thing that's on the other side of that is a lot of them are really good.
Yeah.
Ashley's better now.
Oh, 100%. Lisa's
better now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Krauser is at least a little bit less boring now. Like, Krauser's kind of funny. They did good work. Yes. With a lot of this stuff, even though it did mean toning down some of the campiness, which is a bummer.
Yes. Talking about the development and the release and stuff, this game's existence was one of the worst kept secrets, at least, you know, of the last, let's say, you know, 5 years or so. Like, it was basically just leaked in 2020 with this news that, like, oh, the development was in this crisis. Capcom had begun development sometime around 2018 with an external studio before they brought it in-house in 2021 and basically started over again per reports and things like that. It made sense that they were going to do this. It was basically foreshadowed in the RE3 make with some of those notes at the end. Everybody kind of knew about this, but thankfully they brought it in and they put it under the directors of the RE2 remake, which is the best hands it could have been in.
Yeah. Which, depending on which day you ask me, is, you know, the second best Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
Right. It's incredibly good. This was hard for them to remake this. The original game is incredibly popular, incredibly influential, still exists, and to my mind, and this will vary for people, but still justifies its existence. I will replay the Resident Evil 4 original just like I will replay this. That was a hard challenge for them to go through. And they went through all these changes as they went, and we can see them
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're apparent.
Yeah. Their justifications and, you know, and the reasons why they did them are also apparent.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. This game is a massive success. Like, yep. You know, 90s and stuff on Metacritic. And in sales wise, it sold 3 million copies in the first 2 days. Just gangbusters.
Yep. It's killer. People like Resident Evil 4 as well. They should.
Yeah.
And I can't be mad if this let more people play it.
Mm-hmm.
So Shinji Mikami played this and gave it his blessing. He liked it.
Yeah, the director of the original one. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple controversies about this of gamers sucking ass.
Mm-hmm.
One, Ada's actress from the RE2 remake, Jolene Anderson, was replaced by Lily Gao, who played Ada in the 2001 movie Welcome to Raccoon City.
2021 would be weird. Yeah.
That is real weird. Sorry, 2021. I'm sleepy. Gamer, this was, you know, it's good to have an Asian actress play an Asian character. Mm-hmm. We figured this out. It took a long time for society to kind of to de-poo ourselves, but we've kind of done it. Gamers were so shitty about this, they harassed her off the internet. I obviously that sucks just for a thousand reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand being that attached to Ada's voice actress in the first place, even if you put aside all of the like non-Chud reasons. Mm-hmm. If I imagine myself a Chud, you know, I still don't understand caring about this that much.
And also, like people brought this up when I streamed the game. People were complaining about the performance. The performance is fine. She does she does a good job. She does it is not noticeably worse or better than anybody else in the game.
I love this game with my entire heart.
Uh-huh.
There's a bounding box with how deep and nuanced the performances are going to get in Resident Evil fucking 4.
Yeah.
You know, like this is a dumb time for carnival clowns. Like these plots are stupid.
Uh-huh.
You know, these characters don't have arcs or anything. Yeah. This isn't Shakespeare. And I'm not saying that to dismiss it. I love it more than almost anything, but it's getting mad at the nuances of the performance like that, I think is a little silly.
Yeah.
The other controversy was that, Ashley, you can no longer look up Ashley's skirt.
Jesus.
And she's no longer, sexualized. The characters would hit on this young girl who was the president's daughter.
Yeah.
A lot in the original, and the president's daughter would hit on back. And they changed that and changed her characterization, and people were like, oh shit, censorship. I can't look up a young girl's skirt anymore. And fucking I don't leave this planet.
Hey guys, we fucked it up. We got to start over.
Can we please start over? Like,
yeah.
Give me at least one do-over with us, with these gamers.
I've got no idea what age Ashley was originally supposed to be.
She was supposed to, I remember I saw this in a fact. A funny line in that Resident Evil fact, which was like, I think she's supposed to be 18, but if you're the president's daughter, you can be 40 and still be jailbait, which I thought was kind of cute for like a 2002 joke, or whatever, 2006 joke. But the, she's supposed to be technically of age, so while still being wildly inappropriate.
Yeah. They age her up, like very specifically. You find her, you find her cell phone, and like there are stickers on there for her fraternity, not for sorority. There we go.
Yes.
You know, and I've not seen this specifically, there, cause I haven't gone looking for it. Again, I was surprised when people brought this up. But I have to believe that, they made her college age and therefore ruined her has to be a factor for these fucking sickos. I know I might be making up a person, but do not tell me that is not of a piece of it. Yeah.
It she's such a better character
in
this. Like I'm not, and again, we're talking about Resident Evil 4. So I'm not saying like, oh man, I wept true tears when Ashley did this, but she has a little arc.
She does.
She develops. It's fun and encouraging to watch her gain confidence in this game and not have her just be something that like, I would feel queasy about her chiding me for looking up her skirt when I had no choice because my avatar was walking up a ladder.
Yep.
You know, I wasn't trying to do that, but the game still winked about it because of gamer pervert and yeah. gamer developer pervert reasons.
And and losing that, you gain something much more interesting, which is the relationship between Leon and Ashley. Aside, you know, aside from being, you know, it goes from being the gamer pervert and gamer developer pervert, haha, young girl, you know, game on kind of thing, to like an Agent Cooper and Audrey kind of relationship, right? Where like yeah. she grows attached to him and like talks about like, oh, I want to be an agent too. And Leon, you know, respects her and also like understands that it would be inappropriate. It's like, no, like our relationship is going to be different and better because of that.
He grows to respect her agency and her capacity. Yes. As she gets better and more confident at helping him out mm-hmm. and helps him throughout this yeah. thing. And near the end, their relationship seems like one of good friends, which is the best you should hope for mm-hmm. in this kind of relationship.
Yeah.
Even if you're fantasizing about having sex with a 16-year-old, because you rescued her from an island, you weirdos who are probably not listening to this episode.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, just the scuttlebutt about it was very frustrating. And I hate how it, I mean, this is just soapboxing, but how it's dressed up as this principled stance against censorship.
Jesus Christ.
Like, why is that change in that character giving them a character or changing them inherently censorship when any of the other changes aren't? You know, like it's censorship if you change it to make it less sexy to me. That's not mm-hmm. why I care. I care because it's censorship, but that's what counts as censorship. Whereas just changing all these other things is not censorship.
And it's also the only censorship or change that they talk about.
Yeah.
You know,
like, it drives me nuts. I mm-hmm. fucking horny gamers, man.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking vile. So as far as future goes, there is going to be a PSVR 2 kind of version of, like, they're going to give you an upgrade to play this like that. So congratulations to the four people who own that.
Yeah, they all go to the same club that the four people who are buying the $4,000 Apple VR headset go to.
So disappointing.
I'm buying a first gen Apple product for $4,000. I'm smart.
I'm smart.
Yeah. They all live together.
So hopefully that'll trickle out. Hopefully it'll be something else.
Exclusivity is bad for the medium.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, I mean, what do we think they're setting up for after this? Like, we've got no idea. There's a cliffhanger, you know, like mid credits thing that basically says, hey, we're looking at RE5. I hope not. Hope springs eternal that we're getting Code Veronica.
Yeah. I you know, obviously DLC next. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Code Veronica get remade, but I also want to see Resident Evil 9. If the Resident Evil 8 DLCs and end of Resident Evil 8 makes it feel like it's turning back into a super powered government conspiracy game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's going the Resident Evil 6 route, which bums me out. I want Code Veronica. I would also take a Resident Evil 5 remake. I would like to see them fix that too. I basically am on is if they're not worse than the Resident Evil 3 make, I will have them remake whatever they want to remake.
Yeah.
At this point. Remake the Revelations games. Those are trapped on systems that a lot of people don't play. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, those have been brought to PC and Switch and stuff. Like, those are those are out there and available. Yeah,
yeah. But you know, they're not very widely played. Mm-hmm. There are more people who have seen a UFO than have played Revelations 2. do those. You know, mm-hmm. Fix 6. Fuck. At this point, I will take them all. Just, you know, at the fail condition is you're getting a fun video game,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they're not dog shit. They're not shit in the bed mm-hmm. in terms of a really enjoyable experience. And like 2 times out of 3, they're making something kind of transcendent.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'll take whatever they give me. It's just like there's a feeling, you know, we only get one of these every 3 years. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a feeling in me that I know is basically just FOMO, but it's like, if you pass over Code Veronica now, when are you going to do it? Are you never going to do it?
Yeah.
Cause like that really needs that would thrive under this. That would thrive under the RE2 make.
It's a big challenge though, because like you have to do the Ashfords
yeah.
and make them cool. You know, like that's tricky. Like that is going to be tricky. That game has a lot of problems, not just the gameplay stuff, which I think would be the easiest to tighten.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be most excited to play. But mm-hmm. story wise, I think that's tricky. Like, how do you handle a problem like Steve through non Code Veronica eyes?
You can make him better. Like, look at how they improve Luis, right?
Luis was not nearly as bad as Steve.
I know.
Like, Steve is really bad.
Yeah.
I also would like to see a remake of Resident Evil Zero for the same reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to me, that is equal with Code Veronica of mm-hmm. the worst Resident Evil games that need to be fixed.
Man, I can't disagree with that more.
Yeah. Oh, which one? Where are you going with that? In which direction?
I would not put Code Veronica on the same tier as RE0. I think RE0 is a yeah.
Well, what's the second worst to you then?
I don't know.
I'm not saying Code Veronica is as bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, in terms of ripeness for remake, dude.
Yeah,
those are the two of them that I think are
okay.
Mainline games that are the most fucked. Like, obviously, Dead Aim or some shit.
Right.
But, fucked.
It sounded like you were saying they were as bad as each other, that was my knee jerk reaction to it.
I feel like Zero and Code Veronica are probably the two worst mainline games. Or no, probably about it. I stand by that. Yeah. I think those are the two worst games, followed probably by Six.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a gulf between them. Resident Evil Zero is nigh unplayable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah.
Yeah.
So fucking Resident Evil, man. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saying which ones are really bad, but it's what a fun series.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be it for the generalities of this. If you are hearing this now, you're not a patron, and that's okay. If you'd like to hear the rest of it, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us $5 a month. You will get the rest of this episode and all of the premium episodes for in the past and in the future, as well as bonus shows.
Yeah. It is too late to write in about RE4 Remake or any of the other games that we covered this month. Infernax, Pentiment, 7 out of 10 games. That window has passed. However, it is not too late to write in about July's games, which are Burnout Paradise, Jack 2, and the premium episode there, Cadence of Hyrule, Legend of Zelda, Crypt of the Necrodancer game. And to write in, go to duckfeed.tv/contact, use the forum there, and write in by July the 15th. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please separate them into multiple responses.
Yeah. You can also leave us ranked reviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict. If you have a project and you are not a cis white straight male and you'd like us to give it a shout out, send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. Include links and your pronouns and pronunciation, please. This episode, I would like to shout out a podcast called Halftone Takes. This is a podcast where Corey Revis and Adam Bucherri, who did a tabletop game based on Resident Evil.
Yeah. Enter their survival horror. I think it's available on Itch. Yeah.
Yeah. Take turns. They're old friends and they interview each other about pop culture and art and media to try to get to know each other better. Nice. It sounds very sweet. It is called Halftone Takes. There is a link. You can find it wherever on podcast. Their actual website, they're hosted on Red Circle, and it's a very long URL that would be a nightmare to read out. But if you just search Halftone Takes, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out.
Nice. I don't know the other host, I don't believe, but Adam Bucherri is good people.
Yeah. Yeah. Corey, a friend of his from college.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Thanks,
Gwen.
Yes, thank you very much to our producer, Gwen. I got to see Gwen for the first time in a very long time at your wedding celebration, Gary. So it was nice to see her. And we'll always reiterate, we have just a tremendous amount of appreciation for the work that she does for us.
Yeah, it was fun to get the crew together.
Yeah,
it was at one point at that thing, there was more than 50% podcasters at the reception. Like the people in the room, just between my podcast friends and then people who I podcast with, and it smelled fine. Yeah, I didn't mind the smell.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Oh man. But thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.